In just a moment, enjoy Best Plays. First, we'd like to remind you that weekdays, too, this NBC station entertains you royally. For quiz, there's a trio of top shows, Red Benson's Phrase That Pays, and our two newest editions, Second Chance and It Pays to Be Married. There's great comedy with Bob Hope, interesting guests with Dave Garraway and Tommy Bartlett's Welcome Travelers, and the accurate reporting of NBC's Pauline Frederick and Morgan Beatty with his News of the World. They're all good shows and all on NBC. Right now, though, it's Best Plays on NBC. From New York, where the American stage begins, NBC presents Best Plays, transcribed with John Chapman. Best Plays, a series of hour-length dramas selected from the outstanding successes of the New York stage. Now, John Chapman, drama critic of the New York Daily News, is here to introduce Elliot Nugent and Martha Scott in The Male Animal, by Elliot Nugent and James Thurber. Mr. Chapman.
Thanks, Mr. Collins, and welcome, audience. We are told that such things as wine and wisdom improve with age, but it isn't often that a play does. On Broadway recently, we have had three revivals which have seemed even better than they were originally, and which have done better, too. One was the Rodgers and Hart musical, Pal Joy. Another is the Gershwin's fine folk opera, Porgy and Bess. And the third is James Thurber's and Elliot Nugent's comedy, The Male Animal. It was, as always, a very expertly made and intelligently funny comedy. But in this new production, audiences seemed to find in it a point of view on the part of the authors which made it seem as fresh as though it had been written just yesterday. Our stars for this performance are the stars of this revival, Martha Scott and Elliot Nugent. Our company includes others from this production, Elliot's daughter, Nancy Nugent, and John Gerstad. The scene is the living room of Tommy Turner's house. Tommy is a professor at a university somewhere in the Midwest.
I'm coming. Professor Turner's residence. Who? You got the wrong number. Who? Oh, Mr. Turner. No, he ain't here. He just went out to buy some liquor. I tell him. Dr. Damon? I tell him.
Who was it, Leota?
Something about Dr. Damon, Miss Turner. He said he coming over to see Mr. Turner, or Mr. Turner come over to see him, or something. Dr. Damon, don't talk up. He kind of muffles.
I'm afraid it's you that kind of muffles.
Yes. Miss Turner, I'm fixing them little, hors d'oeuvres for the party. Did you set for them little black seed ones in the oven?
Black seed ones? Cleota, you're not heating the caviar.
No, I ain't heating it, but tastes like something ought to be done to it.
It's to be served cold.
Oh, yes, sir. I ain't no hand at 'em. People where I work last just drank without eating anything.
Hello.
Well, hello, dear.
Alan, these are for you.
Flowers. Oh, Tommy, they're lovely.
I got the liquor, too.
Did you get the right kind?
Well, I got both kinds.
Oh, dear. All these magazines. Say, what became of the book that was on this table?
That? Oh, I threw it in the wastebasket. It's trash.
But you can't throw that away. Wally gave it to Patricia.
Huh?
There. Besides, it's just the right color for this room.
Oh, Wally, quit arguing.
You said you were going
I'm going to dinner with Mike and then to the rally with you. You can't feed me at the training table.
Mike Barnes. I don't see... Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Turner? Professor Turner?
Hello, Butch.
That's Wally Myers.
Oh, hello.
Oh, has Butch been coming here, too?
Oh, go on. Get out of here, halfback. I have to get dressed. Hey, Ellen, excited about seeing the great Ferguson again? He just drove up to the Beta House in a Duesenberg. I can't wait to see if he's still got his hair.
Hey, is he coming here? Joe Ferguson? Yeah, you know, he's all-time All-American. Well, I'll see you later, Pat.
Does he mean that now Joe belongs to the ages, like Lincoln?
Mm-hmm.
In a way. Oh, Pat, why don't you and Michael stay here for dinner? Well, it's just a bite, really.
No, thanks. You know how Mike feels about Mr. Keller.
He'd spit in his eye.
Why do we have to have Ed Keller to this party?
Joe has to have someone to talk football with. Mm. Ed practically paid Joe's way through college. You can stand the Kellers for one night.
Just barely. I don't know how to entertain trustees.
You'd better be entertaining tonight with the great Ferguson coming. Weren't you engaged to him once, Ellen?
Not officially, just for fun.
My dear sister, that can be dangerous, too. Okay for the shower now?
Hurry. Oh, Tommy, Dean Damon phoned.
What do you want?
Well, I don't know. Cleota answered the phone.
Huh? Oh, I see. Oh, I bet I know.
What? Tommy, you don't mean...
Yes, I do.
Oh, Tommy, that's wonderful. Well, it's 350 more a year, isn't it?
500 more. I'm no piker.
Oh, this promotion couldn't have come on a better day for me. Do you know what day it is?
Yeah, Friday, isn't it? Why?
Oh, nothing. Never mind. What happened to all the matchboxes?
Say, you look very pretty tonight. I ought to take you out to dinner more often and show you off.
We're going out tonight after the rally.
I mean just the two of us. Tonight will be just like old times. Remember how Joe was always horning in on our dinner dates? He was always coming. I never saw him going. Clumsy guy. Always knocking knives and forks on the floor.
Oh, he wasn't clumsy. He was very graceful. He was a swell dancer.
Yeah, I remember he got the first and the last dance with you the last time we all went to a dance together.
Oh, the maid dance. I remember. I remember I had the last dance with Joe because you disappeared somewhere.
No, I was watching from behind some ferns.
They played 3 o'clock in the morning, and who? Oh, it was a lovely night, wasn't it?
No, it poured down. You and Joe were dancing out on the terrace when it started. You both got soaked, but you kept right on dancing. No, you were shining wet, like Venus and Triton.
Why didn't you cut in?
I had a cold. Besides, my feet hurt.
I'll get it, Cleota.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, come in, Dr. Damon. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Thomas.
Hello.
Where's Mrs. Damon?
I'm picking her up later for the festivities. This is rather in the nature of an official call.
Michael, you look a little grim. Has anything happened?
Michael has written another of his fiery editorials.
Ellen, have you seen my... Oh, Dr. Damon. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Sit down, my dear. I have here an editorial written by Michael for the Lit. When this so-called university forces such men out of its faculty as Professor Kennedy, Professor Sykes, and Professor Chapman, because they have been ignorantly called Reds, it surrenders its right to be called a seat of learning. It announces to the world that its faculty is subservient...
Well, I didn't mean you, of course, Dr. Damon.
...that its faculty is subservient to its trustees, and a political viewpoint which is fascism.
Oh, Michael, there you go again.
Wait till you hear where he has actually gone. These professors were distinguished liberals. Let us thank God we still have one man who is going ahead teaching what he believes should be taught.
Who's that?
He is not afraid to bring up even the Sacco Vanzetti case. He has read to his classes on the same day Vanzetti's last statement and Lincoln's letter to Mrs. Bixby. I hope we are not alienating the many friends of Abraham Lincoln. Our hats are off to Professor Thomas Turner of the English Department. That's all.
Tommy?
Michael, you fool. They'll kick you out of school for this. And Tommy, too.
Thomas, just what is this Vanzetti letter you've read?
I haven't read it yet. I just meant that I would someday. But, Michael, I was talking to you as a friend, not as an editor.
But why were you going to read this letter, Tommy?
Because it's a fine piece of English composition. I don't want any publicity, Michael. I just want to be let alone.
Nobody thinks of Vanzetti as a writer, Tommy.
Well, it happens he developed into an extraordinary writer. Dr. Damon, I don't think that you could help being interested in this letter yourself.
You would be surprised, Thomas, at my strength of will in these matters.
Michael, you idiot. You don't want to get Tommy kicked out of school, do you?
Well, no. I thought Mr. Turner was about the only man we had left who would stand up to these stadium builders.
I'm not standing up to anyone, Michael. This was just an innocent little piece that I wanted to read.
Well, I'm sure this piece must be very fine, Tommy, but you can't read it now. Keller and the other trustees kicked out Don Chapman last month for doing things just as harmless as this. You'll have to change that editorial, Michael.
I can't. They were printed last night. They've already been delivered to the newsstands.
I'm afraid you'll have to issue a denial, Thomas. Don't underestimate Mr. Edward K. Keller. He rolls like the juggernaut over the careers of young professors.
I know.
Since he will be with us tonight, let us confine our conversation to the woeful inadequacies of the Illinois team.
It isn't Illinois we're playing. It's Michigan.
I must remember that. Goodbye.
Michael Barnes, you needn't bother to come back for me. I'm staying here for supper.
I'm sorry, Mr. Turner. I guess I got kind of carried away. Well, goodbye.
Bye, Mr. Turner.
Bye.
Well.
I'm sorry, Tommy.
Oh, it's all right. I know I'm not a tiger, but I don't like to be thought of as a pussycat either.
Now, Tommy, don't try to be a tiger in front of Ed Keller tonight.
Oh, I won't. I'll be cheerful. I'll be merry and bright.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf?
And Tommy, make sure your socks are on right side out.
Ellen.
Oh, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Ellen, darling, how are you? Oh, gosh, why, you're younger and prettier than ever.
Oh.
If I were a braver man, I'd kiss you. Doggone it, I will kiss you.
Oh, Joe. If I were a younger woman, I'd say it's been all of 10 years.
Well, where's the great Thomas?
Tommy will be right down. You ready for the game?
You bet. What a backfield. Stalenkowitz, Wirasaka, Myers.
They only had Whirling Joe Ferguson. Do they still call you that, Joe?
Oh, sure.
Hello, Joe. Well, it's nice to see you
again. Well, Tommy, old man, how are you? Teaching must be good for you. Ellen here looks like $1 million.
Oh?
See, that reminds me. Ellen, these are a few flowering weeds.
Thank you, Joe. They're lovely.
Oh, it's nothing much. I wanted you to know I remembered the great day. You think I'd forget it was your birthday?
You never used to. Tommy gave me some flowering weeds, too, for my birthday.
Yeah, I got a few for your... Yes. Well, Tommy, I see you still got a lot of books.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, I never get a chance to read books, but you got to keep up with the world. I take 15 magazines. That keeps me busy.
But Tommy's had several articles in Harper's and the Atlantic.
No. Well, say, that's fine. But you'll have to boil them down to the Reader's Digest to reach me, Tommy. You know, that's a great little magazine.
Hmm. Do you like bouillon cubes?
Huh?
Tommy, I think you'd better fix some drinks.
Yes, we have a lot of celebrating to do.
Well, how's Brenda? I meant to ask you before.
Oh, fine, great. A little heavier, maybe. We're being divorced, you know.
Oh, I didn't know. Joe, I'm sorry.
Oh, nothing to be sorry about. It's just one of those things. We're both taking it in our stride. Took her out to dinner last week along with her new boyfriend.
Wow, wasn't that rather complicated?
Well, you're not up to date, Tommy. That's the modern way of doing things.
Sure, taking your stride. Gosh, Ellen, I can't take my eyes off you.
Manhattan?
Yeah. Well, nice little place you got here, Tommy. Just fine.
Manhattan, Dr. Damon.
No, thank you, Thomas. Mrs. Damon, you know.
Ah, that's him. Ed, the old scoundrel. Shh, now don't tell him. Wait, Tommy. I'll duck behind this.
What? Are you ready now?
Hello, Ellen.
Hello, Ed.
Hi, Turner. Where is he? Where is he? Where's that old horse sleep? Joe!
You old dog!
You old scoundrel!
You put on a little weight, Eddie. And what's happened to the crowning glory?
Oh, worry, real estate, you know.
How long's it been, Ed? 7-8 years, isn't it?
Will you have a cocktail, Ed?
Yes, thanks.
Say, this is Ellen's birthday. How about a little toast?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, fill him up. Mrs. Keller?
Not too much.
Mrs. Damon?
Sherry, please.
Well... Happy birthday, Ellen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ellen. Happy birthday to you.
Well, shall we fill him up again, Ed?
Yes.
Yes, sure, yeah. Let's drink one toast to the big red team.
To the big Red tea.
Who's afraid of the big
team? What's that?
Tommy,
what'd I do?
Tommy, you better eat something. Those cocktails are strong.
Your sister. They took a stone out of her as big as a walnut.
Oh,
she can't weigh more than 90 pounds.
How about another drink?
Tommy, I'll pour them.
But we're celebrating, you know, the homecoming game.
Listen, everybody. I think maybe we should all go into supper. It's only buffet. We'll eat after the rally.
Supper! I'm starved.
Ed, remember your diet.
Myrtle, it's a party. Homecoming game.
Yes, thank you, Ellen.
Mrs. Damon doing all right?
She and Mrs. Keller are conducting post-mortems over the buffet.
Oh.
That's quite a spread, Ellen.
Thank you.
Well, Dr. Damon,
yes?
We men on the Board of Trustees are certainly glad this Red Scare's over.
Yes, no doubt you are.
Now maybe the new stadium project will get somewhere. Nobody felt like coming through when they read about men like Kennedy and Sykes and Chapman being in the faculty. Now, that Chapman was nothing but an out-and-out Red.
Oh, no, he wasn't, Mr. Keller. Don Chapman was a humanist.
We knew him very well.
Sure.
How do you know he wasn't a Red, Tommy?
He went to Soviet Russia for his vacation once, didn't he?
Oh, he just went to see the drama festival.
Well, it's a mighty long way to go to see a show.
Tommy, why don't you go in and get something to eat?
What makes you think there was something suspicious about
it? Well, his family wouldn't allow a post-mortem.
I hope you can all find a place to sit.
Really? Where's Michael Barnes this evening, Patricia? Frederick tells me he's written a remarkable editorial. Frederick, be careful.
Barnes. I haven't read a decent editorial since Brisbane died.
I'm always so interested in the literary magazine. What was the editorial, Patricia?
Eat your dinner, my dear. Remember, Mr. Keller wants to get to the rally.
What's going on? Who is this Barnes?
Oh, he's a student, editor of the literary magazine.
What's he done now?
Oh, it's nothing, really.
Well, Ellen, since it's come up, we might as well tell Mr. Keller he'll read about it tomorrow. You see, I told Michael that I was going to read something to one of my classes.
Tommy isn't really going to read it at all.
What was it this kid said you were going to read? Anything important?
It's a short but beautifully written piece of English by Bartolomeo Vanzetti.
Oh, never heard of him. Say, Ellen, this car... Hey, you don't mean Vanzetti of Sacco and Vanzetti?
Yes, the same man.
You mean you're going to read something he wrote?
Yes, I was going to.
But no, he's not. Michael didn't understand.
Well, why would you ever think of such a dumb thing in the first place?
It's part of a series. I read many such letters to my classes.
You mean letters by anarchists?
No, I mean letters by men who are not professional writers, like Lincoln and General Sherman.
Well,
and...
is this editorial going to be printed?
We discovered it too late to stop it.
And this kid didn't submit it to the publications committee.
Unfortunately, he did not. Ellen, dear, Mrs. Damon and I must be running along. I have a committee meeting.
What committee?
Come, Blanche.
Oh, yes. That little committee.
Well, I'll get your things for you.
I hope this thing isn't too bad. Now, you better deny it quick, Tanner. I tell you, I'll call the papers in the morning.
No, thank you. I'll take care of it.
Hey, what's going on here?
I'm just telling Turner here we've had enough of this Red business among the students and the faculty. We don't want any more.
This isn't Red, Mr. Keller.
Well, maybe not, but it looks bad. We don't want anything Red or even pink taught here.
But who's to decide what's Red and pink?
Well, we are. Somebody's got to decide what's fit to teach. If we don't, who would?
I thought the faculty had...
No, sir. You fellas are too wishy-washy. We saw that in the Chapman case. Americanism is what we want taught here.
Fine, but how do you define Americanism?
Why? Well, everybody knows what Americanism is. What do you believe in?
Well, I believe that a college should be concerned with ideas. Not just your ideas or my ideas, but all ideas.
No, sir. That's the trouble. There's too many ideas floating around. You put ideas of any kinds into young people's heads, and the first thing you know, they start believing them.
On the contrary, I have been putting ideas into young people's heads for 42 years, with no visible results whatever.
Come, Frederick. Good night, Ellen.
Good night.
Lovely party.
Yes, indeed. Delightful.
Turner, you better think twice before you read anything. I can promise you the trustees will clamp down on any professor who tries anything funny. I'm telling you that for your own good.
Say, I thought we were going to have some fun. Let's break this up.
Tommy.
How about some records?
Come out in the hall.
Is this for?
Ah, Tommy, goes. Have you had too much to drink?
No, not enough.
Your eyes have that funny look.
Did you hear what Mr. Keller just said to me? I don't like to be talked to like that.
Tommy, you're not going to go ahead and read that letter, are you?
Yes, Ellen, I think maybe I have to.
Tommy, try to be practical for once. Do you think Joe would do something that would get him into trouble just because somebody irritated him?
Oh, Joe, I wish you would try to understand the way I feel about this, but no, you see how Joe would feel. That's very plain to you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Joe wouldn't get all mixed up.
I'm not all mixed up. I'm trying to understand what goes on in your mind. It can't be like Joe Ferguson's mind.
Oh, you and your mind. I have to go through such a lot with your mind.
Maybe you wouldn't if you understood it better.
I know I'm too dumb for you.
No, Ellen, I didn't say that.
Oh, yes, you did. You said Joe and I were stupid.
No, I said he was.
But he isn't. He's a big man. In some ways, he's smarter than you.
Well, you ought to know.
Hey, look, Tommy, what are we fighting about?
You said I was dumb.
Tommy, you've had too many drinks, so you wouldn't say that.
No, I haven't, but I don't feel very well. I feel very unhappy and slightly sick.
Oh, I'll get you some bicarbonate of soda.
No, you won't. I'll go upstairs and lie down for a few minutes. I can do that much. Let's not bring this down to the level of bicarbonate of soda.
Tommy, I didn't...
Anything the matter?
No, well, Tommy's not feeling very well.
And what was that stuff between you and him?
Oh, it's nothing, really. I'll tell you all about it tomorrow.
Hey, listen to what they're playing. Remember, Ellen? Dance? Come on. Ah, gee, this takes me back. The May dance, remember?
I'm a little rusty, Joe. I haven't danced in I don't remember when. Makes me feel young.
Who stole my heart away? I can answer that. Ellen. Oh, Ellen.
Joe, please. Joe. Say, how many cocktails did I have?
Ed, get away from that ice cream. You have had enough.
All right.
Oh, look, Ed. Joe and Ellen, just like the old days, dancing together.
They make a darn handsome couple, don't they?
Ah, she dances like a dream.
Oh, and Tommy, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Well, don't let me spoil the party.
Oh, party's breaking up anyway, Tommy. I don't want to miss any of that rally.
Tommy, did you take the bicarbonate?
Yes. You go to the rally, Ellen. I'll go out in the yard and cool off. Well, good night, everybody. You're coming to lunch tomorrow, aren't you, Joe?
Oh, yes, sir.
That's what I thought.
Hey, look, it's the team and a band.
Come on, let's step on it.
Yeah, boy, it sounds good. Gosh, doesn't that take you back?
Where we go after the rally?
I'll take you all to the Dixie Club.
Oh.
What do you say, Ellen?
It would be fun. No, I'm not going. I'm going to stay here and get you to bed, Tommy.
No, I'd rather you didn't, really.
Hey, they're stopping in front of the house.
Hey, Mr. Ferguson, we brought the band over to escort you to the rally. You're going to ride in the X-Line buggy.
The X-Line buggy,
let's
wow!
Let's get by.
Okay, fellas, what do you say, Ellen? You ride with me. Some fun, huh?
Well, all right, Trey.
Hit it, Ed!
And if we win the game, we'll buy a keg of booze. Drink to old Midwestern till we wobble in our shoes.
Rock, rock, Ferguson.
Rock, 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 Ferguson, Ferguson.
Rah, rah, rah.
In a moment, Act Two of The Male Animal, starring Elliot Nugent and Martha Scott. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company. Now, Act Two of the Best Plays production of The Male Animal, starring Elliot Nugent and Martha Scott, with John Gerstead and Nancy Nugent. Here again is John Chapman.
The time, 1 o'clock, Saturday, the day of the big game. Whirling Joe Ferguson, with all the spare china salvaged from the luncheon, is explaining Midwestern secret weapons to Ellen and Pat.
Now, Skolsky cuts down the left side line and takes out Wupperman. Now, Michigan is charging in on Lindstrom and Wirasaka. But Wally really has it. It's a fake.
Hooray!
Oh, I'll get it.
It's an old play, so corny only a football genius like Coach Sprague would use.
Hello, Dr. Damon.
Hello.
Won't you come in and wait? Tommy's out somewhere. I'm not really sure
well,
where.
Well, I can't wait very long. I brought this for Thomas.
Oh, is that the literary magazine?
It's a powder magazine.
Ed Keller called. He's on his way over here.
Yeah, he called me this morning. He was fit to be tied. He called the trustees fascists. That kid is dangerous, un-American.
Oh, no,
not really. He's from an old Chillicothe family.
Well, Tommy better deny this pretty fast and get himself in the clear, I'm telling you. Say, where is Tommy?
I don't know.
You don't think he may be a little sore about your going out with me last night?
Oh, I don't know, Joe. I'm all upset.
Shall I answer?
Would you?
Hi, Ed.
Turner here?
No, he isn't.
Well, I want to see him before the game. Tell him to call my office. Ellen, you tell your husband what I said.
Look, Ed, it isn't Ellen's fault.
Well, it isn't my fault either. Here I kept this whole weekend free. I've got my office full of 18-year-old bourbon so we fellas could cut loose a little. And look what happens. All we need now is to wear a socket to fumble a punt. You coming, Joe?
Yeah. I'll see you later, Ellen.
Dr. Damon,
mm-hmm.
Would you read this letter if you were Tommy?
My dear, for 42 years, I have read nothing to my classes written later than the first half of the 17th century.
There must be some way, some compromise. It wouldn't be too humiliating.
Yes. The policy of appeasement. I can't wait any longer for Thomas. Tell him that if he decides not to read the letter, I shall feel easier in my mind. Much easier. And slightly disappointed. Good afternoon, my dear.
Pat, you've got to listen to my side.
Get out of here, Michael Barnes. You haven't got a side.
I'm not trying to ruin Professor Turner's life or my life or anybody's life. It's the principle of the thing you won't see.
Oh, the principle. Making a fool of yourself over a principle.
All right, Pat. I'm very glad to know the qualities you admire in a man. They are certainly the noble virtues, and I'm sure that Wally is lousy with them.
Oh, make up your mind who you're imitating. Ralph, Waldo, Emerson, or Hemingway. You writer.
Now, who's imitating Hemingway?
Oh, I wish you'd go away.
I'm going. I'm going for good. I'm going out of your life.
The door's bolted, you dope.
What are you doing with that doorknob?
Here.
Oh, thanks.
I was just going.
You look terrible, Michael. Has somebody done something to you?
Patricia. Oh, I suppose it's just as well. I found out what she wants in life. A handsome, half-witted halfback.
Yes, I know how that feels. Michael, come back in about an hour, will you? I want to give you a piece of my mind.
Yes, sir.
Is that you, Tommy?
Mm-hmm.
Pat's upstairs, crying.
Hello.
Hello. I was beginning to get worried. Where were you since breakfast?
Oh, I was walking.
Well, Dr. Damon's been here, and Ed Keller, and the newspapers have been calling up. There's going to be an awful lot of trouble if you don't hurry up and deny that story of Michael's. Or have you done it?
No, I haven't denied it.
You mean you've made up your mind to read it? Is that what you've been walking around for? Oh, Tommy, I don't know what to say to you.
Maybe you've said enough already.
Oh, that isn't very kind.
No, but last night I began to see you and myself, clearly, for the first time.
Tommy, if this is a story you're writing and you're trying it out on me, it isn't very good.
Oh, I saw you and Joe clearly, too.
Oh, you saw him kiss me. I thought that was it.
No. No, I didn't. Did he kiss you? Well, that's fine. I have been meaning to ask you, what became of Houseman's last poems?
Tommy, I want you to stop this. Oh, let those books alone. If you're going to be jealous, be jealous. But don't act like the lead in a senior class play.
I'm just trying to tell you that I don't care what you and Joe do. I'm trying to tell you I think it's fine. It's very lucky he came back just now.
What do you mean?
I mean that on the money I make, I can go on fine alone, reading whatever I want to my classes. That's what I want, and that's what I'm going to do. We get in each other's way.
Why haven't you said all this before?
Well, we hadn't split up on this letter issue for one thing, and then there was no place for you to go.
Oh, you mean you waited to tell me all this until Joe came along? Well, I thought you were jealous of Joe. I could understand that. No, you aren't the least bit aroused at the idea of his kissing me out in the dark for hours.
No, I'm not.
You just want somebody to take me off your hands. I suppose any man would do as well as Joe.
Oh, he's not just any man, and you know it. He's always been in love with you, and you've always been in love with him.
That's ridiculous.
I saw you dancing together like angels. I saw you together years ago when I was young enough and dumb enough to believe that I really took you away from him. There is something that happens when you two dance together that doesn't happen when we dance together.
All right, have it your way. I've gone around 10 years mooning about Joe. Well, maybe I have. Maybe I have, because I'm certainly sick of you right now.
Ellen. Ellen, listen.
Oh,
Ellen.
Never mind. All right, all right, all right.
Well, hello, kids. You ready for...
Oh, I'm sorry if I... Hello, Joe.
Hello.
I brought the rum. You and Ellen have some rum.
Oh, right now? Oh, what's the matter? Maybe I could talk to Ed.
No, I don't want that. I'll run my own life my own way.
That's what it's about. Tommy wants to live alone.
What?
He wants to be left alone.
I beg your pardon?
Us, Tommy and me, we're breaking up.
Just before the game? You're both crazy. Maybe I better go.
Not at all. You are not exactly a stranger around here. You knew Ellen as long ago as I did. Then I barged in and took her away from you.
No, 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 you didn't. You had nothing to do with it. She got sore at me on account of another girl.
Oh, that's where I came in.
Ellen and I had a fight. You came in later.
Joe, do we have to...
It's all right. It's his turn.
She threw something at me. She thought I went away with this girl. I mean...
Never mind. I know what you mean.
Well, I thought Ellen never wanted to see me again. I guess I was dumb. Brenda says it shows you like me.
Who's Brenda? Another girl?
It's my wife.
Oh, sorry.
Brenda's always been jealous of Ellen. She found a picture of you.
What picture?
I gave him a picture. He wouldn't give it back.
You were wearing that floppy hat, red.
She looks nice in hats like that.
No!
Now look what you've done.
Look what you've done. Don't touch her. She doesn't want to be touched when she's crying.
I've seen her cry. I know what to do.
Oh, you do.
She cried when we had that fight about that girl. She was lying on the floor, kicking and crying on her stomach.
I was not.
Be careful what you say.
I picked her up then.
Well, you're not going to pick her up now.
Oh, will you both please let me alone? Will you please go away?
There. She wants you to go away, and I don't blame her. If this is the way you treat her... I wouldn't have stood for it 10 years ago, and I'm not going to stand for it now.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get her away from all this. It isn't nice. You've certainly messed things up, brother.
Don't call me brother. I can't stand that now.
If Ellen weren't here, I'd call you worse than brother.
Well, I'm not going to be here. Will you please stop, both of you, bandying me back and forth?
Nobody's bandying you, Ellen.
I know when I'm being bandied. I don't want either one of you. You can both go to the devil.
She means me.
She said both of us.
She was looking at me. Well, I'm being broad-minded. I'm taking things in my stride.
But what makes me think you're still crazy about her and are up to something or other?
Don't be acute. I can't stand you being acute.
Well, I'm not dumb.
Yes, you are. But she's always been in love with you. This thing is too deep for jealousy or for anything but honesty. A woman must not go on living with a man when she dances better with another man.
That's silly. That's
you had better go upstairs and comfort her. She'll be expecting you.
Oh, no. No, no, not me. It doesn't seem right somehow for me to go upstairs.
This is not a moment for cheap moralizing.
Well, all right. All right.
What's the matter, Mr. Turner?
Don't you ever knock. Hello, Michael.
I came back, like you said. They'll probably do something to you, especially if we lose to Michigan.
Oh, don't worry about me.
I've put her out of my mind. It's ended. Simply as that. And there's a girl who could sit with you and talk about Shelley. What was that?
I'm sure I don't know. What were you saying?
She sure revealed the true stature of her character. She goes off to Hennick's with that football player. I saw them, sitting right in the front window drinking 7-Up. He uses a straw.
Yes, but he's handsome. What's more, he whirls. He's a hunter. He comes home at night with meat slung over his shoulder, while you sit there drawing pictures on the walls of your cave.
I see. Maybe I ought to hit him with a ball bat.
No, you'd miss him. You see, Michael, you are a civilized man, and if the male animal in you doesn't like the full implications of that, he must nevertheless be swayed by reason. You do not fight for your woman. Nowadays, the man and his wife and the other man talk it over, quietly and calmly. They all go out to dinner together.
Oh, Mr. Turner, I wish I were like you. Middle-aged, settled down, happily married, and through with all this hell you feel when you're young and in love.
Middle-aged?
Well, yes. Well, you know what Rupert Brooke says. That time when all is over and love has turned to kindliness. Mr. Turner, is kindliness peaceful?
Don't ask me.
I give up.
You look ruffled. What ruffled you?
Do we have to discuss these things in front of this boy?
I am not a boy.
Michael, would you wait out in the garden?
All right.
Oh, I wish I was in Pittsburgh.
What happened?
She was bitter about you. She picked up something you'd given her and threw it against the wall and broke it into 1,000 pieces.
What was it?
Well, I didn't see it till after she threw it.
Oh.
Hey, look at the time. I don't want to miss this game. You know, I sort of wish Stalinkowitz wasn't laid up, don't you?
I haven't given it much thought one way or the other.
Of course, they may not give Brenda a divorce.
I think they will.
I don't suppose we ought to go and leave Ellen.
Well, it's time we're getting started, isn't it? Don't you realize what time it is?
I'll get the game on the radio.
How are you?
Me? I'm fine.
That's good.
Come on, we just got time.
Ellen, you forgot your thermos bottle. You'd better make a note of this, Joe. It gets cold in stadiums late in the afternoon, and, well, Ellen gets chilly sometimes, so she likes to have hot coffee. Here's your thermos, Ellen.
Oh!
Hey, did you slap her?
No, I kicked her.
Hey, they're coming out on the field. We missed the kickoff. Come on!
He is probably still running with that ball. I think we must have another drink, possibly.
All right.
Hey. Hey.
That's the way to talk to him.
Hey!
What do you want? Coyote, we feel that we should like to have something more to drink.
There ain't no more to drink. I'll make you all some black coffee.
Yes. What did she say?
Nothing.
Oh. Let's see, where was I? Do you know the first law of human nature?
Yes. Self-propagation.
Not anymore. No, that is gone with last year's nightingale.
Gone with last year's rose.
Yes. Defense of the home. Defense of the home against prowlers and predatory prowlers. Do you know what the tiger does when the sanctity of his home is jeopardized?
I know. You told me. He talks it over with the other man, quietly and calmly.
And let us take the wolf. What does he do? I mean, when they come for his mate, he tears them to pieces.
But we are civilized men, aren't we?
So does the leopard, and the lion, and the hawk. Yes. They all tear them to pieces without a word.
Oh, but you said we should give up our women.
Let us say that the tiger wakes up one morning and finds that the wolf has come down on the fold. What does...
Wait.
Before I tell you what he does,
I should like to tell you what he does not do.
Yes, sir.
He does not expose everybody to a humiliating intellectual analysis. No. He comes out of his corner like this. The bull elephant in him is aroused.
Can't you stick to one animal?
No. No. No, that's my point. All animals are the same, including the human being. We are male animals, too.
You said...
Even the penguin. Yep. There it is. In us, always. Though it may be asleep, the male animal, the mate. When you're married long enough, you become a mate. Think of the sea lion for a minute.
All right.
Now, his mate is lying there in a corner of the cave on a bed, little bed of tender boughs or something. Is that all right, tender boughs?
Yeah.
All right. Now, who comes swimming quietly in through the early morning mist? Very sleek and very powerful, dancing and whirling and throwing kisses?
Joe Ferguson.
Yes. And what do?
You say hello.
Oh, the sea lion knows better. He snarls, he gores, he roars with his antlers. He knows that love is a thing you do something about. He knows that love is a thing that words can kill. All women like a man who does something, and all male animals fight for the female, from the land crab to the bird of paradise. They don't just sit and talk. They act. I hope I have made all this clear to you. Are there any questions?
No, sir.
Tommy, what in the world have you been doing?
Drinking.
What for?
We were celebrating. Ellen, I think perhaps you had better go away for a little while.
Don't worry. I'll be down in a minute, Joe.
Well, some football game, was it? If Wally hadn't snared that pass, I think it...
Where have you been all this time?
Hey... You guys are pie-eyed.
Did you hear that, Michael? Let us clear the furniture.
Why?
I don't want you to break anything when you fall.
I'm not going to fall.
Oh, yeah, sure. I am going to knock you cold.
Now, Tommy, let's sit down and talk this over.
Ooh, talk, he says, to a man of action. Sit down, he says, to a tigress and her cub.
Well, how did you guys get so cockeyed? I wish Ellen to hurry up. Hey, Cleota!
Don't call for help. I could take you and Cleota right in the same ring.
Get away from me, Tommy. I'd break you in two, and I don't want to do that. Now, how would it look if I came here and took Ellen and knocked you down on the way out?
Hey! Hey, now you've started my sinus trouble.
Out in the backyard.
Ow!
Don't push me, my nose!
I'll push you.
All right!
Michael, where are they? What's going on?
Fighting.
Fighting? What about?
Penguins.
Right in the eye. Tear them to pieces.
Help, Tommy!
Hello, Ellen. How's Tommy?
The doctor says he can get up this afternoon.
No concussion, then?
Yes, a little. Well, I'm all mixed up. I want to go away someplace where I can think.
Hello, Pat.
Tommy, you shouldn't be up.
Oh, I'm all right. Morning. What day is this?
Monday. You ought to lie down.
How do you feel? Would you like a hard-boiled egg?
No, thank you. Nothing hard. My teeth hurt.
Michael's been suspended. He's leaving town.
I'm sorry.
He's coming over to drive Tommy to class. I'd better catch him outside.
Well, how do you feel?
Very strange.
Is everything clear to you now?
Well, it's clear in the center. It's kind of fuzzy around the edges.
Well, I know you think I'm not very bright or something.
No, I know.
You got me all mixed up on Friday, and you were even less helpful on Saturday.
That wasn't me Saturday. That was a drunken sea lion.
I rather liked you as a sea lion.
Yes, I must have been very funny. The point is, I don't want any pity.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Joe.
I'm sorry, Tommy. I didn't hit you hard. You slipped and hit your head on a bench.
I know, I know. What's the matter with your hand?
You kind of bit me. Oh. Ed's out in the car. We just chased a reporter away hanging around out there. Hey, could I have a little slug or something? I got the galloping jumps. I can use a little drink. Haven't slept for two nights.
Worrying about something?
Yeah, my cold's worse.
Want some cleansing tissue?
No, I don't want some cleansing tissue. Look, have you got a Pennsylvania timetable around?
Here's your drink, Joe. Where are you going, dear?
I'm not going. Oh, what?
Huh?
Dear?
Oh, well, I gotta be in Washington tomorrow.
But that's going to rush me.
What do you mean?
Well, Joe, I thought you and I would start out tonight and...
What did you say?
Could I have a little more scotch?
Well, I don't want you to get drunk, Joe.
Would you mind explaining this, Ellen?
Well, now, Tommy, you've made your plans, and I have to make mine.
Yeah, but not like this, not running off...
Are you afraid of a scandal? Pittsburgh's a very big town. Nobody need know anything about it.
About what?
About us. About our eloping together.
Ellen!
But you see, I don't live in Pittsburgh. I live in Sewickley. And my boss lives there, too. And my mother's not very well. Besides, it's a Presbyterian town.
You're not being very gallant, Joe.
No. Are you trying to get out of this?
No. But I come from a long line of married people.
I can't sit out in that car all day, you know.
I'm sorry, Ed. I forgot about you.
Is he able to talk?
Lord, yes.
Well, then, Turner, listen. We had a trustees meeting in the president's office. Michael Barnes is out. And you're on your way out. You'll be asked to resign tonight.
Oh, Tommy.
Ed's trying to help him while there's still time. After tonight, it'll be too late.
What do you care what happens tonight? You won't be here.
Do you mind if I stay here just a little while, Tommy?
Why shouldn't you stay? It's your house.
There's just one thing you can do, Turner.
Ed, wait a minute. Tommy, I know that reading this letter must mean something to you. Oh, I wish I could understand. I wish I understood what you're fighting for. Whether it's something you really believe in and love or just your own selfish pride. I think you got into this because you were mad at me.
I don't see what she's talking about.
All right, Ellen, I'll try to explain what this means to me. Perhaps originally pride had something to do with this and jealousy, mm-hmm. But now it's not about you and me. This is bigger than any of us.
Is it?
It must be a masterpiece. That letter must be quite a nice piece of propaganda.
Why don't you read it and find out?
I don't read things like that.
You don't even know what you're objecting to.
Oh, excuse me,
Well, come in, Dr. Damon. You are just in time.
Oh? Has the Inquisition moved its headquarters?
I'm just about to read the Inquisition a letter from one of its victims.
That's about enough of that.
This may not be wise, Thomas.
No, sir, it may not be wise, but it's necessary. I didn't start out to lead a crusade. I simply mentioned one day that I meant to read to my class three letters written by men whose profession was not literature, but who had something sincere to say. Once I had declared that very harmless intention, the world began to shake. Great institutions trembled, and football players descended upon me and my wife. I realized then I was doing something important.
Well, you make it sound mighty innocent, reading Lincoln and General Sherman and Vanzetti. What was the reason you gave for picking out Vanzetti?
Originally, I chose him to show that broken English can sometimes be very moving and eloquent, but now...
Vanzetti was an anarchist. He was executed for murder.
He was accused of murder, but thousands of people believe he was executed simply because of the ideas he believed in.
That's a dangerous thing to bring up.
No, it's a dangerous thing to keep down. I'm fighting for a teacher's rights, but if you want to make this political, all right. You can't suppress ideas because you don't like them. Not in this country. Not yet. Dr. Damon, don't you see, this isn't about Vanzetti, this is about us. We're holding the last fortress of free thought. And if we surrender to prejudice and dictation, well, we're cowards.
May we hear the letter in a slightly calmer mood, perhaps?
Yes, sir. Here it is. Now, This may disappoint you a little, Mr. Keller. It's not inflammatory, so it might even make you feel a little silly. At least I hope so. Vanzetti wrote this in April 1927, just after he was sentenced to die. It's been printed in many newspapers, and it appears in this book, but you could destroy every printed copy of it, and it wouldn't die out of the language, because a great many people know it by heart. If it had not been for these things, I might have lived out my life talking at street corners to scorning men. I might have died unmarked, unknown, a failure. Now we are not a failure. Never in our full life could we hope to do so much work for tolerance, for justice, for man's understanding of man, as now we do by accident. Our words, our lives, our pain, nothing. The taking of our lives, the lives of a good shoemaker and a poor fish peddler, all. That last moment belongs to us. That agony is our triumph. Well, that's it.
Well, that isn't so bad. That isn't a bad letter.
Is that all of it?
Yes, that's all.
And maybe Tommy's right. I don't see that it would do so much harm.
Oh, yes, it will. If he reads this letter to his class, he'll get a lot of those kids worried about that man. Make socialists out of him.
I'm worried about him already.
No, I won't have it. You fellas are trying to defy the authorities of the trustees. I wouldn't care if that letter were by Alexander Hamilton.
Neither would I. The principle is exactly the same.
Well, then read something else. Why can't you read Hoover?
Yeah.
Hoover can't write as well as Vanzetti.
That's a terrible thing to say. You'll get in trouble saying things like that.
Joe, you have some influence around here.
I can fight my own battles, Ellen. I don't want self-sacrifice from you.
What?
Oh, yes, you always know that.
Oh, do we always have to have women butting into this?
Ellen isn't women. She's Tommy's wife.
No, I'm not.
No, Turner, it comes to the... You know what? Do you mean to tell me that you two are not... No, we can't have that in this school.
It's Joe and I that are going away together.
Yeah, will you let me... You and Joe are going to do what?
You don't look at me.
You might as well tell him now I'm going to Pittsburgh with Joe.
Why, you can't do that. The newspapers... Why, that would be worse than the letter.
I think I should get a breath of fresh air.
Now, get this straight. If we can keep sex out of this for a minute... If you read that letter today, you're out of this university tomorrow. You take this stand, and you stand alone.
Mr. Keller, for 42 years, I have followed a policy of appeasement. I might say I've been kicked around this institution by one Edward K. Keller after another.
There is only one Edward K. Keller.
There has always been at least one. But there is an increasing element in the faculty which resents your attitude towards any teacher who raises his voice or so much as clears his throat. I warn you that if you persist in persecuting Thomas Turner, you will have a fight on your hands, my friend.
Do you think Bryson and Cressinger and I are afraid of a few dissatisfied bookworms who work for $3,500 a year?
These men are distinguished scholars who have made this university what it is.
They've made it what it is. What about me? Who's getting this new stadium? Who brought Coach Sprague here from Southern Methodist?
He means this thing is bigger than stadiums and coaches, Ed.
Nothing's bigger than the new stadium.
Come on in, Michael.
Now what?
We're circulating petitions, Mr. Turner. Show them, Pat.
We've got 357 names. Come on, Mike. We've got to hit Fraternity Row.
I think I should go home, have my Ovaltine, and lie down.
Say, Ed, look. This thing has been signed by Stolenkowitz and Wirasaka.
What? They can't do this to me. Two of the biggest men in the university signing a red petition. You, the greatest halfback we ever had, running away with a woman. Why, they'll never ask us to the Rose Bowl now.
What is the Rose Bowl?
I'm getting out of this house. You coming, Joe?
No.
You can't depend upon anybody. Turner, I'll kick you out if it's the last thing I do.
Well, I suppose Ed will never speak to me again.
I have to get to my class or I'll be late.
Tommy,
I know.
You know what?
Well, I know what you're going to say, but I don't want substitutes, Ellen. I don't want loyalty.
What's the matter with that? Now, look, let me handle this.
I just want to say I came to this city to see a football game.
Oh, no, you didn't. You came for me. You haven't been here to a football game in 10 years. You wait until you and Brenda are separated, and then you come for me.
Yes, subconsciously you came here for Ellen, so don't try to deny it.
Well, I'm ready to go.
You didn't pack anything.
I've been packed for 3 days.
Well, so long, Joe. Oh, I know you'll get Ellen a place of her own. For a little while, anyhow. Ellen, you can take that four-poster money with you, and I'll have one more check coming, too.
What's four-poster money?
We were saving up to buy a new bed.
Oh, no. There we go again.
Ellen, please.
Oh, go on. Put on your coat. Comb your hair. If you're going to get kicked out of school, you can't go over there looking like a tramp.
All right.
Ellen, don't worry about Tommy. He's sure to get another job. He's had more publicity than Wally Myers.
Oh, I don't care what becomes of him.
You're still crazy about the guy, aren't you?
I'm kind of scared of him. He used to be just nice, but now he's wonderful. What he's trying to do is wonderful. Why, he wouldn't let me or you or anybody stop him. Not even Ed.
Yeah, but he can't dance.
Who wants to dance now?
Come on, Ellen. This is important.
What are you talking about?
The important thing about dancing is that the man has got to leave. Right, Tommy?
Tommy, were you... Did you...
May I cut in?
Tommy, let me go.
No, I think you're wonderful, too.
You think I'm dumb. Were you listening?
No.
Hey, now, don't start that again.
Hey, Joe, why don't you go back to your wife? Maybe she still likes you. We can send her a wire.
Don't worry about me, brother. I sent her a wire this morning.
Well, that's that. Quit leading.
I'm not leading. You were listening.
You were yelling. Well, turn.
Well, make me turn. Don't be so rough. Put your hat on straight. You look terrible.
You have just heard the Best Plays production of The Male Animal, starring Elliot Nugent and Martha Scott. And here once more is your host, drama critic John Chapman.
And so, even though there has been a great deal of trouble, everybody's happy. The professor and the rebellious campus editor have won their righteous battles, and the fuss budgets have been confounded. That's a good thing about plays. They often work out better than real life does. Which is why we enjoy them, I guess. Thanks, Miss Scott, Mr. Nugent, Mr. Thurber, and company for the fun. Next week, we shall be looking not for laughter, but for excitement. Our best play will be Sidney Kingsley's excellent police station melodrama detective story. Our leading detective will be Wendell Corey, and his station house partner will be James Westerfield, who won prizes for his performance in the original production on Broadway. This is Chapman saying goodbye until next week.
The Male Animal was transcribed and adapted for radio by Ernest Kinoy. Heard in the cast were Joe Julian as Wally, Ralph Bell as Ed Keller, Lawson Zerbe as Joe Ferguson, Edwin Jerome as Dean Damon, Edith Gresham as Myrtle Keller, Marjorie Maud as Blanche Damon, and from the Broadway cast, Eula Bell Moore as Cleota, John Gerstead as Michael, and Nancy Nugent as Patricia. Best Plays is an NBC production supervised by William Welch and directed by Edward King. Your announcer is Fred Collins.
Tonight, hear Confession on NBC.